Matthew chapter 1. I remember when I was growing up and coming along to church here that I sat through many gospel meetings just like this. And many times I came along and as soon as the preacher started talking, I switched off. And as soon as the preacher stopped talking, I switched on again. And like that went on for quite a few years until the Lord really spoke to me and Dad challenged me about salvation, and one night there I took the Lord as my Saviour. And I say that tonight in case anyone's already done that or going to do that. I'd like you to really listen to what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say a lot really. I'm going to read a few portions of God's Word, and I'm going to read more than I'm going to say, because I really want to bring across the real essence of the Gospel. And I want to read three portions of God's Word that tell us the three great events in the world's history and all centering around the Lord Jesus. And as I've given you the first reference, you've probably guessed that the first one concerns the birth of the Lord Jesus. So like, I really want everyone to really listen and to pay attention to what we're reading, because these words are really relevant for us today. The Gospel is a reality. And salvation and the afterlife is a reality. And it's really important that we know where we stand before God and that we're sure of it. So whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians, or whether we're not sure, let's really, as we read these verses, take them to heart. Starting from verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that's the greatest miracle that's ever happened in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit and was born to this Lady Mary. And in verse 21, we'll continue reading. And she shall bring forth the Son, which is the angel still speaking to Joseph. She shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. One of the greatest miracles, as I said, is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that moment, God gave his love to us, to the world. How much he loved the world. For as Brett said, giving his only begotten Son, the Son of his love. And he gave the Lord Jesus freely. When the gift is given, it's a free gift, and God has given us the opportunity to be saved, and it's a free gift. It's a costly gift, but it's a free gift. And here is God, the Creator, gives his only begotten Son for our salvation. What great love is that toward us, where he deserves it so little? And God gives his Son on our behalf. What unsurpassing love. Then we see, or we see as we read in verse 21 there, the meaning of the Lord Jesus' name. He shall save his people from their sins. He's a Saviour. He can be our Saviour if we accept him. God sent the Lord Jesus, as Brett mentioned, from heaven down to this world that is so full of sin and so surrounded and eaten up by sin, and that the Son of God came, so that we can be saved from sin. And so here we have the first of the three miracles that I'm going to read. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes down to earth. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 14, the second gospel in the New Testament, the second book, Mark chapter 14. And when you think of the Lord Jesus, how he was born of a virgin, come into this world to sin, it was for us. And the question that I want to leave with us tonight is, What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with the Lord Jesus? Mark chapter 14, and we read down to quite a long chapter, and I won't read it all, but we read portions of it. So I only read a few verses at the end. In verse 61, we're seeing here the Lord Jesus has, from his time he was born, he's gone through approximately for 30 years, where he's performed many miracles and he's taught wonderful teachings. And he's got quite a following. And there were some religious leaders who got quite jealous, and so they've made up some accusations against him, and now he's on trial here. And we'll pick up the reading in verse 61. The high priest, one of the religious leaders, has just challenged him. But the Lord Jesus, verse 61, he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus answered, I am. And this I see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes and said, need we any further witnesses? He has heard the blasphemy. What think you? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And in verse 65, and some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And servants to strike him with the palms of their hands. This is what is happening now to the Son of God, the one who in his great love came down to rescue us. And we see here that these religious leaders have no respect at all. They've pronounced him guilty when he's purely, absolutely innocent. And now they're spat on him and they're hitting him. And the reason that the Lord Jesus stood there and took all this is because he loved us. And again, I'd ask you the question, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 15. And the time of this happening was at a feast time. Part of the celebration of this feast time was they would release one prisoner that they had in the jail. And Pilate, who was one of the rulers there, in verse 6. Now at that feast, Pilate released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Do you that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Talking about the Lord Jesus. And he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. That was a motive in bringing the Lord Jesus to trial and to seeking him, seeking to crucify him because they were jealous. So the chief priests knew the people that he could rather release Barabbas, that's the murderer, unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they respond in verse 13, and they cried out again, Crucify him. And then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. The Lord Jesus was innocent. He was spotless, he was holy, he was pure. Never sinned in his life. And now he's been accused of something he didn't do. And he's about to be crucified. And Pilate gives the people a choice whether to release Barabbas, this murderer, or to release the Lord Jesus. And the people's response is take Barabbas and crucify the Lord Jesus. Again, I ask the question of you tonight, as Pilate asked these people, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Down in verse 16, so we read verse 15, and say, Pilate, willing to condemn the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the sergeant led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And listen to these verses now. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then verse 22. And they bring him unto the place called Gotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And down to verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said unto themselves with his God, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that he may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Here we have the Son of God again. He's gone through those 30 years. He's gone through the trial. And now he's acting out the sacrifice that God demands for our sins. He's experiencing the death of the cross, the crucifixion. And it's because he loved us. And you may have heard the gospel many times. You may have heard the gospel only a few times. But after tonight you'll have heard it, and you'll never be able to escape from it. The Lord Jesus, he loves you. The Lord Jesus, he died for you because of his great love. Now, I can't explain it very well, that's why I'm reading most of it. But the Lord Jesus loved us without anything in us that deserves it. So much that he endured all his pain. So again in verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost, so he dismissed his spirit. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. His work was done. The sacrifice was made. And if you read over back in Matthew's Gospel, we turn to a few verses there, please. We'll see what happens next. Again, before we read those verses, I'll ask you the question, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Matthew chapter 28, and just the first 6 verses. And here we have the next scene and the next great miracle. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre of where the Lord Jesus was buried. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him was treated with shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lies." And as Brett mentioned earlier, that as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he is victorious over death, over Satan, and his sacrifice is complete. And him rising from the dead showed God's acceptance of that sacrifice. And so the question comes again to us, what will we do? What will you do with the Lord Jesus? You see, the Lord Jesus just didn't die for no reason at all. A lot of us can just go about not caring about what we've just read. The world has a view that Christianity is something that they sort of slave line and won't bother about. And that's wrong, because that's the choice that we have to make. If I give you a gift, you either have to accept it or you reject it. You can't just say, oh, I don't care about it. You're either going to accept your gift or you're not going to get it. And at the time of salvation, God has sent His Son into the world, and He's offered us the opportunity to accept this free gift of salvation. And it's up to us. What will our response be? Are we going to accept the Lord Jesus? Or are we going to reject Him? The Lord Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven. You know, sin is a horrible thing, and it's in us all. And we can't get to God without it. We can't have a relationship with God. There's sin in us. There's sin. And so the Lord Jesus died so that we can. And it's through the Lord's death that we can be saved from the sin and from the pain from the sin, that we have a hope. You know, the world doesn't have hope. You wonder, well, I talk to fellows at work, and they started talking about Christian things and about heaven and hell, and they just don't care. And they think you're pretty silly for believing it. Well, I think they're pretty silly for not believing it, because there's no hope. They've got no reason to live. And they really need to be saved. You know, the Lord Jesus promised, after He rose from the dead, as He ascended back, He promised that He was going to come again. And that when He came, He was going to take all Christians to be with Himself. Now, in His wisdom, He didn't give us the time when He said He'd come back, because otherwise we'd all go and live our own lives, and then just before that time, we'd all become Christians. So that's where faith comes in. The Lord Jesus said He was going to return and take us home from heaven. And we know that could be tonight. And I just wonder where you'll be if the Lord Jesus came tonight. And I know that you've heard the gospel, you're responsible. And if you leave it too long, there's only eternal damnation, punishment, awaiting you. So again, I just ask you the question, what will you do with the Lord Jesus?